We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We have minutes of playoff football, everybody. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast. We'll be talking about all the wild card games, all from a DFS perspective. Coming up next. Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast, the DFS version of the podcast. We're talking about Wild Card Weekend. We're going to break it up into two slates. It looks like all the main slates are kind of breaking it into a big Saturday contest, a big Sunday contest. We're going to do the same there. I am Scott Jensen, joined as always on Friday mornings by Ryan Belongi. If you could please rate or review the podcast, that'd be fantastic. We are sponsored by WinBet. We thank them for that sponsorship all year long. Ryan, we made it through 18 weeks. My 49ers snuck in by the thinnest of margins on Sunday. It was quite a stressful Sunday for me when they were down 17-0 and Jimmy threw a pick. I was pretty sure it was done, and the probability and win probability kind of agree with me on that. It was very low at multiple times in the game. But how are you on this Friday morning?
Oh, I'm doing good. Yeah, I was pretty worried about the Niners too, but happy they got in. Happy for you, and I like the Niners as a team too. My Packers looking really good. Maybe we can finally get another Super Bowl this year. But as far as these DraftKings slates, it's nice. I like that they broke them up. So we got a 2-game slate on Saturday and a 3-game slate on Sunday. Much different than, the 10, 12, 14-game slates we've had recently. So it'll be nice to play smaller slates for once.
Yeah, and obviously, if anybody's playing, there's a Saturday morning to Monday night slate on DraftKings. It's kind of small, but obviously the prices change a little bit than what we're going to talk about, but they're pretty close. So a lot of the stuff that we say should apply to any kind of the contest you're playing. If you're playing single game, it'll work also. Obviously, we'll discuss more players per game than we normally do with less games out there. But there's a lot more players that come into play considering the fact that you have so many fewer games to choose from.
We do have some good games,
but let's jump right in. Let's jump into Saturday. Saturday is a 2-game slate. The NFL moved one game to Monday, so we have a 2-3 rather than a 3-3 like we did, I think, last year. We've got the morning game is Vegas at Cincinnati. Cincinnati favored by 5.5, over under of 49 in that game, so a pretty good number there. And then we have New England at Buffalo. That's Buffalo -4, over under of 44 on that one. So a little bit lower. I think that there's a weather thing there. It sounds like it won't be snow or rain, but it's going to be really, really cold. And obviously there's the concern of that. We had that game where Buffalo and New England played the windy game and New England ran the ball pretty much every single play. So those are the two games on Saturday. Let's start with the morning game. Vegas at Cincy. You mentioned Cincy 5.5-point favorite, over under 49. These teams played in week 11. Cincinnati won 32-13, but Vegas was in three in the fourth quarter, 16-13. The yards were pretty even, but Las Vegas had 77 yards in penalties. Cincinnati had 5, so kind of a huge differential there. If you look at the teams overall, you look at weighted DVOA on Football Outsiders, Cincinnati's 14th in the NFL. Vegas is 21st. So this is the matchup of the probably two of the weaker teams we've seen in the playoffs so far.
Yeah, so I think the line started at 6.5, dropped to 5.5. I've seen some people liking the Raiders, and obviously some money's coming on the Raiders. I like the Bengals side here, though. I've been really impressed by Joe Burrow, even going back to last year, but this year especially. I don't know. I can't really see the Raiders hanging with the Bengals. How the game's going to go is what I'm trying to figure out. I mean, Mixon sort of ran all over them the first game, 30 carries, I think 130 yards and a couple touchdowns. Burrow kind of struggled. The line struggled. The Raiders got to him. I think he's been stacked the most amount of times in the league this year, if I'm right, that the Bengals still struggle on the line. And if the Raiders defense has the strength, it's the pass rush. So I don't know. I kind of think the Bengals will try to establish the run early, and the Raiders might be playing catch up. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I kind of agree, especially on the run side of it. I think that since he's going to try to establish that, I don't know. The Raiders defense is playing pretty tough. They've won four games in a row to get in. I think this one stays close for a while. I think Cincinnati wins the game, but I think that line is probably about right to me. But before we get into players, the afternoon game real quick, New England at Buffalo. They played twice, obviously, in the same division. The Pats won that win game 14-10, where they threw three passes. The Bills won 33-21 in week 16. First game ever with Bill Belichick coached the Patriots where the other team did not have one single punt in the game, which was I thought was pretty wild. They went for it. Buffalo went for it like four times on fourth down, converting three of them. In weighted DVOA, this is a huge matchup. New England's second, Buffalo's third. So we've got two really good teams here. Although the Patriots have shown some signs of struggling lately. They've lost three of four. In three of those losses, they allowed 27 or more points. So, like, didn't finish the season really strong. Buffalo's been a bit of a weird team. All their losses have been close games. A lot of their wins have been blowouts. They're favored by four. I really like Buffalo to win this game and to cover this week.
Yeah, me too. Love Buffalo to win and to cover. I'm a bit worried about New England if the game doesn't stay close. They're going to want to run the ball, obviously. Damian Harris went for over 100 in both games against Buffalo. Obviously, the first one, there was some severe weather. But the Patriots can't really win a shootout here with the Bills, I don't think. I mean, Mac Jones, he hasn't really looked capable to me. So if they get behind early, I'm a little worried about him. For DFS, with the exception of maybe one or two guys, I kind of just want to cross the Patriots off here and focus on the other teams. I mean, lowest total that game, total came down a bit. Single-digit temperatures, I think. There's going to be wind. I don't know. It doesn't really look great for the passing games, especially the Patriots side.
Yeah, I agree there. The Patriots, if you look at their schedule, like the games where Mac Jones did really well, play some weak defenses. They haven't been great against good. They can play defense. Belichick will have it schemed up. They've played twice recently, so imagine they'll know what's going on. But yeah, I had trouble finding guys in the New England side I really wanted to play too. So let's jump into that. Obviously, two game slate. They're going to be the percentages rostered are going to be off the chart compared to what we're normally used to with only four quarterbacks. Only four tight ends, four defenses. There's just no way that can't be high percentage plays. So what do you do? Who do you think is going to be the most popular? I assume quarterback in the slate is pretty easy. I assume when you look at it, it's going to be Joe Burrow, Josh Allen. I think it'll be Josh Allen. Quarterback one in back to back seasons. His passing's been down. He's a 5.7 YPA last six games. Like, has not been really effective last games, but that the rushing has gone up. He's got four games all year with double-digit rushes. Three of those four came in the last 5 weeks of the season. As the weather's gotten colder, letting him use his legs more, he's scoring rushing touchdowns. He's 7,900 on the short slate on DraftKings. I think he's the most popular quarterback. You agree there?
Yeah, I do agree. And the rushing upside for Allen is encouraging. Yeah, he's averaging 68 yards on the ground over the last five. He had 12 carries against the Patriots in that week 16 matchup. You figure if conditions are at all tough, he's going to be running plenty here. I think he's
for a Bills quarterback, he struggled in cold weather though. It's very odd to see him that, especially the guy that went to Wyoming, plays in Buffalo. The cold weather's not been good to him on the stat line when it's been chilly.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Like, how much do you put a lot of stock into that? I think
probably not yet. Like, if it keeps being a concern, I mean, we're talking, three or four games that everybody's highlighting, but yeah, I mean, I think the wind is the key. If it's super windy, like it was the first game, then yeah, I mean, something has to change. But aside from that, I think I'm fine taking Allen.
Yeah. I think most quarterbacks would struggle in wind and weather that severe. I'm not sure what the temperature was when they played in Foxborough, week 16, but I mean, Allen looked incredible. It was the best I've seen him look this season. I don't know. Like, I think, you know, I think the Bills will be confident. They just sort of handled New England and, you know, home playoff game, rivalry game. Yeah. I'm comfortable going to Allen.
In terms of popularity, who do you think is the, who do you think is the most popular running back on this, in this small slate?
Mixon and Jacobs, I think, at least according to the projections. You know, that game has the higher total. Both have, you know, both have been good recently. Mixon, people will see that he sort of crushed the Raiders last time. People will see that, you know, he has 14 targets in his last two games, 13 catches. And Jacobs has sort of been the bright spot for the Raiders too. One of his best games of the season against the Chargers that everybody just saw, 28 touches in that game. And then, you know, the Patriots running back situation's tough because they got two guys. The Bills, you know, people don't love to roster Singletary, but I think they will some. But yeah, I think Mixon and Jacobs will be the most popular. Just going back to quarterback real quick.
Yeah.
Allen will be the most popular, I think. And then, but Burrow will be close. And then, you know, people will play Carr too, just because he's, you know, quite a bit cheaper than the other ones. And the game script, you know, theoretically should set up favorably. Yeah, I just wanted to mention that.
Yeah, of course. And we'll get to some quarterback receiver stacks in here a second, kind of looking at tournament plays and what you want to do to be a little different and all that. But I agree with you on Mixon. He's the biggest name running back on this slate. It's a weird – between these two slates, I think Mixon's the most expensive running back on all of them. I think on the Sunday slate, there's nobody over 6,600 or so. I think it's Najee Harris there. But Mixon's a little weird. Like, he didn't have more than 65 yards rushing the last five games. So it's not like a great finish this season. He was scoring touchdowns. You mentioned the targets. That's really key. Like, if he can get targets out of the backfield in this offense, granted, they threw a lot in those two games. You know, Burrow threw for almost 1,000 yards in those two games. But, you know, if he gets the targets, that's really key. You mentioned the previous matchup against Vegas. Is that people are going to jump out of that also. More than anything, for me, it's just a nice game script. They're 5.5-point favorites. And the fact that, you know, if you're going to get Vegas, it's on the rush game. They're 25th in rushing points per game allowed. They're 30th in the NFL in touchdowns to running backs. And I just think they play the pass better than they play the run. I think Cincinnati's going to know that. I think they're going to want to get the run game going. I think Mixon's the most popular one, but also my favorite running back on the slate. So I'm afraid he's going to be really, really high. But obviously there's ways to get a little bit different as you go down the roster a little bit. I want to ask you about when talking about popular plays before we get into everything else. At receiver, it feels like as you build your lineup, you play one of the more expensive quarterbacks, you probably can take Jamar Chase or Stephon Diggs. Chase is 7,800. Diggs is 7,500. What do you do when you're staring at these two and knowing I can only take one? Which way are you going when you do it?
Yeah, it's tough. That's what I was.
It might depend on who your quarterback is, right? You're probably going to play the guy that you play the quarterback. But, you know, just look at the two guys. Who do you prefer this week?
Yeah, so that's what I was going to say. I'd probably just play the one whoever I play at quarterback and pair him with the receiver. As far as who do I prefer, you know, it's weird because Chase is, you know, we wouldn't expect him to be more expensive than Diggs. But based on like recent performances, I guess you can understand why.
He was pretty good his last game.
Oh, I mean, unbelievable, like completely unstoppable. Yeah. So, you know, the upside makes me want to play Chase. You know, we've talked about a lot on this podcast over the season that Diggs just hasn't had those big ceiling games. But he still feels safer to me than Chase. You know, he's like guaranteed to see 10 targets, you'd feel like, you know, in these playoff games or bigger games, usually the target share condenses a bit to the stars. You know, Diggs 14, 13, 13 targets in three of the last five. And you know, if the deep passing game is affected in Buffalo at all, Allen will go short to Diggs all game too. So like, I feel pretty safe about going to Diggs, but I think Chase probably has a higher ceiling. I don't know. Like, do you have a clear lean between the two? I just want to pair him with my quarterback, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, apparently the quarterback is the answer there. But like, if I'm looking at him, I definitely prefer Diggs. I love Ja'Marr Chase. I talked about him a lot this year, but he's a deep ball guy. The Raiders are really good against deep balls. They're really good against touchdowns and receivers. As we're kind of looking for any edge here on these in these games, we only have two games on the slate. Like, you have to find everything. And I just think that the Raiders will try and shut them down. They're going to try and make Burrow beat them underneath. And Chase could do that. You catch another of these passes, he can go for 60 yards at any point. But, you know, Diggs was had 14 targets last week. He led the NFL with 22 end zone targets. Like, I just think that it's a guarantee, like you said, he's going to get a bunch of targets. They have other options there, but they kind of spread it around. Cincinnati, I'm saying they don't spread around as much, but Cincinnati does. Like, you got T. Higgins there, you got Tyler Boyd there. There's just a lot of options, whereas Buffalo, like, they're going to spread around between the other guys, but Diggs can get his first. And he's much more active against man coverage. The Raiders play New England plays a lot of man coverage, which I think is important in this game too. I just think that every time Allen sees Diggs one-on-one or in a man setup, he's going to go to him, whether it be a short one, whether it be a little bit longer. So I just think that the targets are there. If I'm picking between these two, I'm taking Diggs this weekend.
Yeah, I agree.
So let's get into some stacks. We're having some fun in tournaments here. We got it's a two game slate. You got to be a little different. You got to stack some stuff up. What are you doing in terms of that? I mean, obviously, it looks like it's Allen and Burrow are the two big ones. We've got Carr. We've got Mac Jones, who I don't think either of us really want to play. But if you're stacking a game here, stacking quarterback and receiver, where are you jumping to first on your list?
I like the Cincinnati stacks, just because, you know, there's cheap options, to pair with Burrow. First, Tyler Boyd, 4,600, touchdowns in three straight. And then, he had eight targets against Vegas, in the first matchup. And I remember us talking about on the pod that, the Raiders pass rush might force Burrow to get the ball out a little quicker, which, you know, would favor Boyd and might mean less targets for Chase. If the deep ball's not there, Burrow just doesn't have time. So I like going to Boyd, and then even CJ Uzoma at tight end, 3,500, and he's been seeing a lot of targets, at least six in four out of the last five games. Can always catch a touchdown too, and I just think pairing Burrow with one or both of those guys kind of lets you do whatever else you want, because it's pretty cheap. And then on the Raiders side, two guys I really like for run back. First, Darren Waller, who for me is like clearly the best tight end option on the slate. Like, you can get some separation there if Waller has a big game, because there's a good chance that none of the other tight ends will. And then Zay Jones too. Just seeing so many targets for 4,000, eight targets, 10, eight, nine, and a lot of catches too, at least six and three out of the last four. So, I mean, I know, you know, people sort of like to make fun of Zay Jones because, you know, he hasn't been that good historically, but he's getting it done, you know, from a DFS perspective, and 4K is pretty cheap. And you figure the Raiders are going to be throwing a lot in the second half. So that's kind of what I'm looking at for stacks. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the nice part about the Cincy stack is that it's a lot easier to do on the comeback. Like, there's a lot. I love Darren Waller this week. I think that price is just way too low. I think it's going to be really popular. You mentioned the tight ends. Like, it's funny. Sunday is like tight end central. Like, there are all the elite tight ends in the NFL are playing on Sunday. Saturdays is rougher. I mean, we got a couple of guys. You mentioned CJ Uzoma. We got Dawson Knox. You got Hunter Henry. But, like, Waller sticks out, and he's not expensive. He's 5,700, I think. I love the Waller play this week. Even if I'm not stacking that up, I'm gonna be playing Waller on most of my teams. I just think that he didn't do a lot last week, but played a lot of snaps, which is all I kind of wanted to see. He was on the field a lot. I don't really care about his production. I assume that can come at some point. I know what Darrell Waller could do. As long as he's healthy and out there is what I want. But my favorite stack here is going Buffalo. I do think Buffalo wins this game. I think they cover. I think they're going to score a bunch of points. I like pairing Allen with Diggs is my favorite stack of the week. Not like I'm breaking ground there, but I like throwing Gabriel Davis in there also. He's really cheap this week. He is 3,900. He had 14 targets last week. It was hidden in the fact that he had three catches. Like, it was ugly. They didn't really pair up well, but I love the fact that he's looking at him. I'd like Emmanuel Sanders not to play for me to play Gabe Davis. I think if Sanders plays, this becomes a little more muddled as they just have a lot of – they have four receivers suddenly to feed all of a sudden. But I like what Gabe Davis could do. I like the upside of Davis more than Beasley, more than Sanders. He's just on the field a ton when Sanders doesn't play. New England's a good defense. Like, it's tough. Don't get me wrong. It's they're second in the NFL in catch rate to wide receivers and in yards per target. But, you know, we're talking two games. We got to find something here. And I just like Davis has 12 end zone targets, second on the team to Diggs. I think that when they get in the red zone, they look at Diggs, they look at Davis. And, you know, I want that. I think, obviously, a two-game slate, you're going to be stacking up more than one guy in there. So I do like going Allen, Diggs, and Davis. I think the comeback's a little tough. I think I'd probably do it with Hunter Henry. I just I don't trust the receivers. I know Jacoby Myers has a lot of targets, but doesn't do a lot with them. They look at Henry. He scored 9 touchdowns. They look at him in the red zone. He was 5 for 86 last week, most yards of the season. So, you know, doing well. He's only 4,500. So I think he's a nice comeback if you want to go with the Buffalo stack.
That's what I would do too. Diggs and Gabe Davis. Even if, you know, if Sanders plays, which I think he's going to, you know, that'll lessen the popularity of Davis with Sanders in there, Beasley in there. But I prefer Davis as well. I think he has more touchdown upside than those other guys. 3,900, you know, all it takes is one long one on one of these two-game slates. New England, though, yeah, that's sort of what was keeping me back, you know, just from stacking this game. There's just not a lot to like. Yeah. I will say, just, you know, I guess sort of from a, well, one, because nobody's going to play him, and two, because he's the cheapest, like in larger field tournaments, I wouldn't mind taking a shot on like Nelson Aguilar, I guess. I mean, any of these guys, you know, they're going to have to catch a touchdown. And I don't know, he seems to be like, you know, Myers is the possession guy. Aguilar is sort of the deep threat. Born sometimes is two, I guess. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. You know, you don't have to, I guess you don't have to run it back with Patriots either. You can just stack the Bills side. I mean, it's only a two-game slate, so full stacking one of the games isn't like necessary.
Yeah, and I mean, one of these New England receivers is probably the guy that is more involved. You know, picking which one is going to be really important, but it's I'm not sure you can really analyze it and pick one. It's just going to be the kind of way it works out. But I think I'd probably go Bourne Aguilar for a little more touchdown upside, but you can kind of argue for each of them.
I like Henry, though, too, actually, like you said. And then, you know, it doesn't mean you only have to play Henry at tight end. Like, you can play double tight end, because I agree with you. I want to play Waller, even if I'm not stacking that game. So I think double tight end could make sense too.
Yeah. So let's get into a few other players in this slate. But first, a note from our sponsors at WinBet. There's one thing we appreciate here at RotoWire. It's making good decisions, and even more so, making the right decision. Listen up. I have an incredible offer for you with RotoWire's newest partner, WinBet, the premier digital casino and sportsbook app. WinBet is now the exclusive partner for RotoWire's fantasy podcast. WinBet brings you all the latest action with a user-friendly interface, moneyline bets, boosted parlays, over-unders, round robins, live betting, and so much more all at your fingertips. Want a break from sports betting? Head into WinBet's digital casino, take a spin on roulette, double down in blackjack, slam the slots, or try your hand at baccarat. WinBet is currently available in 7 states now: Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia, all while rapidly expanding. At WinBet, the possibilities are limitless. WinBet is currently offering all RotoWire listeners a risk-free bet up to $500 on your first wager. Download WinBet now. That's WynnBet. WinBet, the exclusive partner for RotoWire's fantasy podcast.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So, Ryan, we've talked a bunch about Burrow and Josh Allen. If you're going to play a different quarterback, you want to get a little different on the slate. I know the answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Do you go to Derek Carr? Do you go to Mac Jones? Where are you going if you want to kind of get a little spicy here, maybe play one of the road teams?
Yeah, you know, I guess it's just the obvious answer, but I think it's Derek Carr. I can't roster Mac Jones based on what we've seen recently, based on the weather in that game, based on the matchup. I mean, the Bills defense is tough. I don't know. Of course you can make an argument just because Mac will be by far the least popular quarterback, but it's a much better spot for Carr. He's cheap. The Bengals defense is okay, but it's nothing to fear. We mentioned that the Raiders have some appealing pass catchers in Zay Jones and Waller, and you can make an argument for Renfro, although he hasn't been as good lately, and yeah. might not be as great with Waller back either. But I would go with Carr, right? I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree there. I mean, Carr has not been great fantasy-wise lately. Multiple touchdowns, only one of his last eight games. But you can see this game, you know, the total's higher. You can see this game. If they get behind, I think they'll throw a bunch. Whereas if New England gets behind, I think they'll be stubborn for a while and keep trying to run the ball because that's what they do best. I mean, they want Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson to run the ball. And I think that, you know, if down 10-0, they're not going to get the run. But you know, down 10-0, maybe the Raiders throw the ball a bunch. Waller back helps a lot with Carr. So I think that's the pretty straightforward answer for me. I don't think I'll play – you know, if you want to be totally different, like you said, you can go with Mac Jones, but I don't think I'm going to get to enough lineups where I do that. I think I'm going to have, Allen or Burrow in most of them, but maybe sprinkle in some Carr. He's 5,800. Mac Jones is 5,300. So it's really cheap. You can get everybody else than you want to, but I think on a two game slate like this, you're going to have to get a good game out of your quarterback. And I just don't see that from Jones myself. We mentioned there are no expensive running backs. There's no expensive receivers we talked about, but let's jump down to the mid range on this slate. Obviously we only have two games. It's tough. We talked about Mixon 7,100. I guess we jumped down to Josh Jacobs 6,600. You mentioned the good game last week. Devin Singletary 5,800. The New England guys here. If you're looking to pair someone with Mixon, who's your favorite play to do so?
Either Jacobs or Singletary. You know, I'm kind of leaning Singletary. One, because Jacobs is going to be more popular. So maybe this is a spot to get a small amount of leverage, at least like a step in the right direction. Because I'm a little bit worried about the game script for Vegas. Okay. If they get behind, I don't see Jacobs, you know, getting 26 carries again. And then, you know, he had been involved in the passing game more in the second half of this season. But, you know, with Waller back, I'm sort of worried about his involvement in the passing game too. So I see some paths for Jacobs to fail. Not like Singletary can't, but, you know, he's clearly the first choice back now in Buffalo, getting a lot of carries, catches too. He had five catches in the meeting with New England in week 16. And if the longer passing game is going to be affected in that weather, you could see Singletary catching a few dump offs again. So I guess that's where my lean is right now. What about you?
Mine is mine's definitely Singletary. I worry about game script with the Raiders. I also worry about the fact that since he hasn't allowed a 100-yard rusher since week 9, unless you, I don't count last week. I know D'Ernest Johnson did, but like since that he wasn't playing, they didn't have starters in. So they've been really good against the run. They shut down Jacobs the first game. He did have 5 targets, but he was 9 for 37. I just think there's a lot of paths here where Jacobs doesn't really get a ton of touches, and you don't want that in a 2-game slate. I like Singletary a lot. He's been really good lately. A lot of touches. He's pretty much the guy in the backfield. He had 110 total yards in week 17, 112 total yards in week 18. When they handed off, they're handing off a little more than they were last year earlier in the year. He was quiet against New England in the 2 games, but like you look at New England overall, they allowed 4.5 yards per carry. They're a team you can run the ball against. I think it lines up pretty well for Singletary to be pretty involved here, pretty active. You mentioned the weather. I think that helps him a little bit also. What do you do with the New England running backs? Do you, it looks like they're both going to play. You worry a little bit about game script, although the spread's only 4, but I think both of us think that Buffalo's going to win this game. Can you get into Harris or Stevenson, or is this the split just too much for you?
Yeah, so I don't want to, but I will say, it makes sense. And like, I wouldn't argue with someone that wanted to roster Harris. I mean, the Patriots' path to winning this game or staying in this game is like clearly on the ground. They're gonna, if they get an early lead, if they score first, that's big for the running game. That means they'll probably be able to run into the second half at least. I mean, Harris went for over 100 in both games against the Bills. He had 4 touchdowns in those 2 games. I know that one was, marred by severe weather, but it was like a big talking point that the Bills could not stop the Patriots on the ground, even into the second game. So we know that's what they're going to try to do. I'm with you, though. I just don't want to do it. I think the Bills are going to win and maybe handily. So if I'm going to roster a Patriots running back, it probably wouldn't be Stevenson either. It's kind of worrying to see him only get 4 attempts last week. Brandon Bolden, might be the guy if they're playing from behind. If that's sort of the script that I'm building my lineups behind, he could catch some balls. That might be forcing it a bit, but kind of just off the New England backs in general.
Yeah. With a 2-game slate, we've kind of hit all the receivers that I wanted to talk about. But like, obviously, you got to play 3 receivers. You got to get some cheap guys in here. What are you doing in terms of like the mid-range and cheap? I'm going to put them together because we talked about Hunter Renfrow and Jacoby Myers kind of in the mid-range. Renfrow is more expensive. He's 6,400. Myers is 5,000. We talked about the cheap guys. We talked about Tyler Boyd, Zay Jones, Gabriel Davis. So what are you doing down here? Say you get one of the expensive receivers in. You got to get a couple more receivers. Do you have huge preferences here? I mentioned I tend to lean. I really like Gabriel Davis at the price. I don't think he's good. I think he's going to be pretty popular too, obviously. But only 2 games. He's 3,900. He's 6 out pretty well. But what else are you doing here at receiver if you got to pick between this group of like 5 or 6 guys?
Okay. So the first – in that Hunter Renfrow range, I think the only guy we didn't mention is T. Higgins.
Yeah,
6,200, just under Renfrow. I definitely prefer Higgins to Renfrow. We were just talking about that. Waller being back is a downgrade to Renfrow, and Higgins. He was great in the second half of the year. He put up a bunch of ceiling games too. He led the Bengals in target share this season. And, if I'm not going to roster Chase, I probably want to have some Higgins. But on
Higgins real quick, with Diggs, essentially the same price as Chase. And you look in Higgins and you look at Cincy, you're like, I'll just take Higgins for $16 less than Chase. Do you think Chase kind of slides in as not that popular this week based on the fact that people just go Diggs, or if they want to take a Cincy bat, a receiver, they just save the $1,600.
Yeah, that's a good call. He will be, I think he'll be considerably less popular than Higgins and less popular than Diggs. So
looking at it that way, I kind of do too.
Yeah, that's a good, that's a good argument for rostering Chase. Obviously, he can still be the highest scorer on this slate. But yeah, that's a good point to bring up. Like Chase may end up being sort of the leverage option in that range, as crazy as that sounds on a 2-game slate.
And if you play Burrow or Allen, it's hard to get both in Chase and Diggs in too. So like, there's a lot of ways, if you want to play Mixon, there's a lot of ways that it's hard to get both of them. And I think you're right. I agree with you. I think Chase is the third rostered of those 3 guys.
Yeah, and you know, you're right. It is hard to get. It's hard to get Mixon, Chase, Diggs, you know, the three most expensive skill players on the slate, yeah, especially if you play Waller. So it might be because it's hard to get all those guys. I might try to tinker around, see if I can come up with a lineup I like.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
I don't think that'll be a popular combination. So you probably wouldn't have to do, you know, anything too crazy for leverage, except, you know, what cheap guys are you going to play? So
you pretty much, you pretty much have to play. You probably have to play Carr on that setup and dump down at quarterback. But
I didn't answer your question about the cheap wide receivers, but I'm with you. I prefer Davis on the Bills side, and then, you know, begrudgingly Zay Jones, I guess, just because I like the Raiders side better than the Patriots. You know, we mentioned Jones has been getting a ton of targets. So I probably feel safest about Jones. Like, he'll probably be the most popular in that range just because of the volume he's been seeing. But I think it makes sense. I guess like a leverage option, Bryan Edwards doesn't seem, you know, like the worst option for 3,300. Yeah, like he's definitely taken a backseat. And now there's more mouths to feed with Waller back, but no one's going to roster him. So, like, you know, you can take chances on those guys in the larger field tournaments.
Yeah, the Zay Jones targets you mentioned, they're wild. 7, 9, 8, 10, and 8 the last 5 weeks. Like, that slipped through pretty good. Like, we look at these games every week and talk about him a lot. And like, he had over 50 yards in 3 of the last 4. He hasn't scored since week 1, but like, a ton of targets. I like your Edwards play. You look at him, granted, with Waller back, there's a lot of targets away, but he played 56 snaps last week. Like, he was out there a ton. Also, he had 5 targets, 4 catches, 60 yards. And I think he's the guy that, if they do hit a big play at some point in this game or late in the game in the second half, they're throwing a lot. I think the Edwards is the guy that hits that play. You know, Renfro and Zay Jones, I don't really think it would be explosive. And I think that Edwards could be that guy. So if I wanted to be different in this game, I think Zay Jones would be way more popular. I think a lot of people are going to see those targets and be like, oh, 4,000, I'm going to take that in a 2-game slate no matter what. But I do think that I like your call on Edwards there. I think that he's, if you want to get a little different, he's the guy that I would go with there. I think Tyler Boyd will be popular too at 4,600. I think a lot of people are going to take 2 of Boyd's Jones and Gabriel Davis, then go like 1 expensive guy, something like that, as they build, you know, maybe. But if someone's going to go 1 of those, I think they go 1 of those 3. I think Edwards slides through. I think, you know, you could look at Cole Beasley, but hasn't done a lot lately. But 4,200, you know, you hope in a PPR setting, maybe he gets a bunch of targets. He, you know, catches a bunch of short passes and slides it for a touchdown. So I could see arguing for him, but I think I'd go Davis and Jones before I went Beasley.
Yep, I agree. And I glad you bring up Beasley, because you can make an argument for rostering him. Like, yeah, it seems like he's probably going to bust, but on the times when he has a good game, you know, he still has upside for 8-9 catches in these sort of colder playoff type atmosphere games. So it's a worthy gamble for sure.
Yeah, and he didn't play in week 16, but 37 and 42 snaps. He had 5 targets last week. And, you know, that's kind of all you need. If he scores a touchdown on a 2-game slate, like that, you're going to want him in your lineup at the price. So let's jump into tight end real quick. We've 2 games kind of hit everybody already. But I love Darren Waller at 5,700. We've kind of mentioned that. He played 78% of the snaps last week, had 9 targets. He was 7 for 116 the first 2 meetings between these 2 teams. Since he struggled against tight ends, good game script, it kind of all lines up. My only hope is that maybe everybody plays, expensive receivers. They play one of the expensive quarterbacks. They can't get to Waller. They're like, I'll just throw Uzomah or Hunter Henry in. That's my one hope, that maybe he slides through, not too popular. Just pays the people, you know, they gotta save money somewhere. But like, he's only 600 more than Dawson Knox, and I would play Waller every single day over Knox.
Yeah, all day. Waller's probably a bit underpriced. This is one I just don't really want to overthink. As far as Dawson Knox, New England is great against tight ends. At least they were this season. I think they were number one in fantasy points allowed to tight ends in 5 career games against the Patriots. Knox has never caught more than 3 passes. So yeah, it's just not a great spot. Yeah, I agree with you. Darren Waller, or I mentioned Uzomah if I'm going to stack Burrow, but I also don't mind playing 2 tight ends.
Yeah, the only argument for Dawson Knox is that everybody's going to pick the same thing and not play him. They're going to go cheap or they're going to go Waller. So you got to figure he's the least rostered of the 4 by a good amount. You know, Uzomah did have 13 targets the last 2 weeks, but has only topped 40 yards once since week 8. He had that one big game on Monday Night Football against Baltimore. And like, everybody's like, oh, CJ Uzomah, and hasn't done anything since. But the Raiders did allow 10 tight ends to 10 10 touchdowns to tight end. So if you have to punt, you know, at 3,500, he's not, he's a guy that could score a touchdown for you and be fine. I just think that, I think Waller sticks out in this tight end group pretty significantly.
Mm-hmm.
Got to play a defense on these slates also. I think there's three playable defenses. I would not, I'm not touching New England. I get it, they're a very good defense, but I don't want to go against the Buffalo offense. What are you doing? You got to play one defense. What are you doing this weekend?
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm not really going to touch New England either. I'm probably not going to roster the Raiders either, but there's definitely good argument for the Raiders. We've seen Burrow throw interceptions throughout the year, and he's also been sacked a ton. They have a leaky offensive line. The Raiders have a decent pass rush. So, I mean, the sack upside's there. Yeah, I think the Raiders make a lot of sense. I'm just going to use these two home favorites, the Bills and the Bengals. I'm not sure I have a preference, though. Who do you like the most?
I like Buffalo and I like the Raiders, actually. So I'm not going to play the Cincinnati defense. I just don't think the sack upside is really there. I actually really like, if I need to save some money, $2,500 for the Raiders. You look at Cincinnati sacks allowed. You mentioned they've been the most sacked team. You look at the sacks allowed just the last 6 weeks. 4, 4, 3, 3, 5, and 6. Like, that's not a sack or two here. That's like a lot of sacks they've been giving up. The Raiders have 6 sacks the last 3 weeks. I think the Raiders are going to try and get after Burrow. I mean, the key for me in this whole game is that the Raiders don't blitz a lot. If they can get home with 4, I think they stick in this game. I think that if they can't get home with 4, they got to start blitzing. Burrow just destroys the blitz. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, if not the best, against the blitz. So the Raiders can somehow put pressure on without blitzing. I think that's the key to this whole game, and I think they are going to be able to. I think that's how the game is going to stay a little bit close. But I think when you give me some sack, I like that 2,500. I mean, the Bills lines up really well too. The Bills have 14 sacks the last 2 weeks. They're 3,200. New England turned over 3 times last week. You have a playoff game, home game, favorite against a rookie quarterback. Like, all lines up formula-wise for Buffalo. Buffalo will be easily the most popular defense. But in some lineups, I'm definitely going to play the Raiders as my second choice.
Yeah, okay. You make some very compelling points.
Every once in a while.
I might have to rethink my interest in the Raiders. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, especially considering they're the cheapest.
Yeah. So let's get into the Sunday slate. But first, a note from our sponsors at HOFR. This episode of the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast is brought to you by HOFR, Daily Fantasy Sports Redefined. No confusing salary caps, no annoying player drafts, just simple multiple choice questions on the stats you know and the players you love. That's right. The majority of HOFR contests focus on single sporting events and only feature questions about popular players and recognizable stats, allowing users to make their picks confidently and quickly. Plus, you never play against the house or versus those fantasy sharks. The playing field is level for even the most amateur user to find him or herself landing in the money. Unlike those other apps where an incorrect answer can end your night, on HOFR, incorrect answers never eliminate you from the competition. I played the other night, and questions were as simple as, how many touchdowns will Joe Burrow throw? And which player will have the most rushing yards? So make your NFL Sunday picks with confidence and ease on HOFR. Do not wait another second. Download HOFR, that's HOFR, just spelled out, from the Apple App Store or Google Play Store right now. HOFR is everything the fantasy sports world has been waiting for. So, Ryan, we're getting to the Sunday slate, but I want to do a quick segment here really quickly. Let's talk about sneaky stacks. We've got 4 quarterbacks this weekend between the 2 stacks that are over 7,000. Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, who we talked about, Tom Brady, and Patrick Mahomes were coming up on Sunday. So I wanted to do what's your favorite stack with a quarterback under 7,000? So you're trying to get a little bit different. You don't play one of the 4 guys. I'm going to start with you. There's a couple, and we're talking about some guys on the Sunday slate who are coming up, but you know, that's okay too. But what's your favorite sneak stack? You got a quarterback under 7,000. What are you doing this weekend?
Okay, so initially, when I first looked at the slate a couple days ago, the sneaky stack that I wanted to go with was Philadelphia, with Hurts at 6,100 and Goddard way down at 4,400. However, I've had a little bit of a change of thought. The total in that game has dropped 3.5 points. Opened at 49.5, went down to 46. I guess there's, you know, supposed to be some crazy weather, winds up to 30 miles an hour, and maybe a lot of rain too. You know, I'm not sure. Check closer to game time, but that's like a big movement in the total. Either that or, you know, I've seen some people saying that Vegas just knows that Philly is going to try to slow this game down to a halt. Yep. And sort of run as few of plays as possible. So now I'm kind of off that as a sneaky stack, and I've moved on to your hometown quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Nice, I like it.
I haven't rostered Garoppolo all season, but this could be the spot. You know, this matchup with the Cowboys has the highest total. Jimmy G has actually been better, you know, lately than you might think, or better than his numbers even indicate. Thrown for over 300 in back-to-back games. You know, we saw him lead the comeback last week. His numbers could be much better if he ever threw for more than one touchdown. But I think this is a good spot against Dallas. They're likely to be trailing again, going to have to throw the ball. And the fact that he's 5,300, it allows you to roster, another expensive guy that you wouldn't be able to if you, you know, use Mahomes or Brady at quarterback. And there's a lot worth spending up for on this slate. Like, first, I don't mind pairing Garoppolo with Deebo Samuel, who's the most expensive. And I think it's a pretty good spot for him. You know, people talk about the Dallas defense, but they've given up some big games to receivers this year, and they actually, you know, haven't been that great when it comes to yards allowed, for instance. Trevon Diggs, you know, I think he leads the league in interceptions, but he also leads the league in yards allowed. So I think, you know, it's a good script for Deebo to rack up catches in the second half, assuming they're playing from behind. You could also pair him with Kittle. You could also pair him with Ayuk if you want a discount. And even like Juwan Jennings, who's seen like an uptick in targets recently, caught two touchdowns last week. And if you roster Jimmy with some of those guys, you can run it back with Cowboys who are all cheap. Amari Cooper has been sort of Dak's favorite over these last few games. CeeDee Lamb is the cheapest he's been. I think the other games are sort of unappealing now that there's that weather in Tampa. And I think you can get different by rostering Jimmy and still getting exposure to the game with the highest total.
Pretty wild that the game is supposed to have the most weather is the one that's in Florida of all the teams that are playing here. It's pretty wild that's the case. You kind of took mine that, you know, of the five road quarterbacks, it's tough to really like find one you love. And we talked about Mac Jones already. We talked about Derek Carr. I mean, I don't want to play Roethlisberger at all. Like their offense is gross right now. And that's I really wish the Chargers had gotten in instead of Pittsburgh, just from a fantasy perspective. Like to talk about Herbert instead of Roethlisberger would have been really fun. I don't want to play Jalen Hurts. I do not like this setup for Hurts, weather. I just don't like the way their passing game has worked. And I know that he has a rushing floor. I know that he had two touchdowns in the first game against Tampa, but he was also 12 of 26 for 115. Like, I just don't want that my one quarterback. So I like Jimmy G too. I think that, you know, if they do get behind, they'll throw the ball a ton. You know, he'll make some mistakes, but in fantasy, like, I don't think we really care about that as much. If I were to do it, I think I'd probably go different. I would go Jimmy, Ayuk, and Kittle and leave Deebo off to get a little bit differently is probably the way I would go. Save some money and then run back with the Cowboys. But I think I'll never argue against Deebo. He's probably my favorite player in the league right now. The dude is just awesome. But like, you can hope that he doesn't score the rushing touchdown, doesn't throw the touchdown, and maybe you get more from the passing game from Ayuk and Kittle. But if I had to go with one here, I'd go with Dallas since you took San Francisco. I just think Dak Prescott is weirdly underpriced. Like, he's been really good the last couple of weeks. The Niners, you know, you're not going to run against the Niners. You know, something weird happens. I don't think that Zeke's going to do a ton against the Niners. They play the run really, really well lately. So probably Prescott for me, 12 touchdowns, no interceptions last 3 weeks. He's better against his zone coverage. The 49ers play a lot of zone coverage, so that works in his favor too. The Niners are second in run defense, DVOA. They're 16th in passing. It's very clear that if you're going to beat them on defense, this is the way to go. They are a little bit healthier in the secondary. Emmanuel Mosley back at cornerback is huge. They don't have to play Josh Norman, don't have to play some of those rookies. Ambry Thomas, who is a rookie, but has been playing better lately. So at least like they're not great at cornerback, but they're a little bit better. But I just think this is the way to attack the 49ers. Dak is easy to stack. You can go Lamb or Cooper. You can go Lamb and Cooper. You can throw Dalton Schultz in there, who's been really good lately. Tight end is stacked on the slate, which we'll get into. But I think it's easy. I think it's I'm not really breaking a lot of ground here, but I think that Dak works well here. And there's so many 49ers weapons you can come back with. You can come back with Kittle, Ayuk, or Deebo, or even Eli Mitchell. If you think maybe there's a game where the Niners get a lead, they run the ball a bunch with Mitchell, then that works really well for Dak too. I think there's the nice thing about Dak this week, I don't think game script matters that much. I think they're going to throw the ball no matter what because they're not going to be able to run the ball effectively. So, you know, if they're up, you know, 17 to 10, 17 to 7, I think they still throw the ball, where some of these teams might, you know, shut it down a little bit, really try and establish a run clock. I think that Dallas probably it goes into attack mode and throws the ball pretty much the whole game.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. I love the Dallas stack. I agree. They're all underpriced. You can stack Dak with whoever you want. And San Fran has multiple players you can run it back with.
Yeah, and it's kind of cheating because, you know, Dak's going to be not going to be unpopular. But under 7,000, I just think he's definitely underpriced. So let's jump into this Sunday slate. It's an interesting slate. Crazy good tight end slate. We got all kinds of guys. You have Kittle, you have Kelce, and you have Gronk. Like, it's just I think there's a lot of ways that you could play two tight ends and it works this week. I think a lot of people are going to do that. You know, and even with those guys, you've got Dalton Schultz, you have Dallas Goedert, you mentioned, like, he jumped off the page at 4,400. You got Freiermuth at 4,200. Like, all six of these tight ends are playable. Like, I'm kind of cheating a little bit. Freiermuth is probably the least of the six by far, but like, they're all playable. He's cheap. They're all usable. And the most expensive running back on the whole slate is 6,600. Like, you can't pay up a running back if you wanted to. And the 1600 guy is a guy that is in the biggest underdog in a wild card game in NFL history. Like, I'm not just talking about, they're kind of big underdogs. Like, Pittsburgh's the biggest wild card underdog we've seen, at 12.5 point underdogs. And there've been 8 games in the wild card round. Since 2002, where there's a double-digit spread, 6 of those teams, the favorites covered. It was blowouts. One of them, the favorite one, not covered. And then the 8th was that famous Beastquake game where Marshawn Lynch in Seattle beat New Orleans. So, like, teams that are this bare in the wild card rounds usually roll, usually dominate, and that's scary with Najee Harris. He's the most expensive one. So it's a very interesting slate. There's a lot of fun players, a lot of weapons. We have 3 games to the 2. So this is the slate that I think is a lot more fun than the Saturday slate. But at quarterback, we talked about Dak. We talked about Jimmy. We didn't talk about Mahomes or Brady yet because they were kind of over the price threshold for that little segment. But do you think Mahomes is the most popular? It's kind of the way that I go among these quarterbacks.
Yeah, I think Mahomes will be popular. I think Dak will be popular as well. I agree. This slate.
Do you think Brady's clearly third most popular of the group then?
I kind of
do. So I just it's
yeah. So
losing the receivers is big, but I mean, he's still Brady, led the league in touchdowns, yards, completions, and attempts. Like, it's, which is crazy at 45 or whatever he is. But with Mahomes and Dak here, like, someone's got to be third, and I think it's probably Brady.
Yeah, I think it's probably Brady too. You know, who knows? Maybe he could even be fourth, or he could even be lower than that if people are off of that game the way I kind of am. I think this slate is a lot less straightforward than the other one.
Yeah, I agree.
Quarterback, for me it's Mahomes, Dak, and Jimmy G. If I'm going cheap, I don't know. It seems pretty straightforward, I guess. Quarterback. I guess you agree.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know. I'm not playing Hurts, but I think that, you know, if you look at projections and like value based on price, like, he comes up at the top of the list on some spots, and you know, the rushing floor is there. I just think the passing is so rough right now, and like, they have 4 running backs now, so it's not like it's impossible to play their running backs. They split between the 4, but you know, maybe they just kind of hand the ball off a lot, and maybe he doesn't run as much. I can't get there. I see the path, but I just, with weather, with Tampa's defense, I just don't think I can get to Hurts. I don't know how popular he's going to be. I see projections, and he's definitely 6 out as a value, but I'm just not getting there. I don't know if people can play him or not. I'm not sure what his percentage is going to be.
Yeah, I'm not really either. And I you know, like I mentioned, I wanted to play him, I guess, more than you did. I'm not excited about the passing, but I thought he was going to run more in this spot, especially with Tampa just being so good at stopping the run. I think they'll sort of half the pass, and it will lead, you know, Hurts to scramble more, sort of take more chances with his legs in a playoff game. But yeah, the way that total dropped, and, you know, supposed to be bad weather. Yeah, I'm kind of off Hurts too. But you're right. I do think I shouldn't have just, you know, not said he's going to be popular. People look at a $6,100 running quarterback and they're still going to want to play him. So you're right. I guess for me, it's Mahomes, Dak, and Jimmy.
Okay. Let's see. Look at running back. Running back, like I said, there's no expensive guys. I think it's going to get spread out here. You look in the mid-range. I think it's probably where people are going to like, oh, that's an easy click. You have Leonard Fournette's 5,600. He's going to should be back from his injury. He was really – he's kind of rolling before he got hurt. He had 100 yards in two or three games. He's clearly the guy they prefer there. You got playoff Lenny. Obviously, he steps up in the playoffs. We know that. Elijah Mitchell is 5,700 at Dallas. Crazy. Like, they were trailing in that game to the Rams the entire game last week. They were down 17-0 early. He still ran the ball 21 times. Like, they are so stubborn. They run the ball well. They want him to get carries. He looked good again. He's clearly – their offense is way different when he's in there. I don't know what happened, how he fell in the sixth round, but, like, he's way better than Jeff Wilson. He's way better than Jermichael Hasty. He's way better than Trey Sermon. Like, the split is not a concern at all there. He has 21-plus carries his last five games. Unless they're getting blown out, he's going to get a ton of touches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Fournette is playoff Lenny is definitely underpriced. You know, he was up, in the 7,000s before that injury, 7,600, 7,400, 7,300. I mean, he's way down to 5,600. So he's going to be the most popular player probably overall on the slate. I don't really have a problem eating that chalk. I think 5,600 is just too cheap for him when he's going to be catching passes. And then I think, my second favorite back would be Elijah Mitchell. I agree with you. He's much better than all the Niners running backs. They love feeding him. I think, reasonable path for San Francisco to stay in this game or control this game if they get a lead is just to run Mitchell a lot. So, it's good salary too. So Fournette and Mitchell, I think, are the top two for me.
And Dallas, you can run against. They're 18th in yards per carry. The only concern with Mitchell, and I mean, Debo's going to steal some looks. He's going to score some touchdowns. He steals some red zone looks in the run game. But, you just every time he's healthy, and he hasn't been he's been hurt a bunch, but every time he's been healthy, he gets 20-plus touches, 20-plus carries too. Like, it's just – it's a great – the floor is really nice with Mitchell, even if he's not super effective. Like, he's going to – if he goes 20 for 80, like, that's a nice floor already before you talk about touchdowns. So we're talking about running backs. Let's stick with running backs and kind of walk through those. The other guy in this range with Mitchell and Fournette that I think takes some rostership is Darrell Williams. It might depend on if Clyde Edwards-Helaire plays or not. He's still questionable. But if CEH doesn't play – Williams averages 18-plus targets in those non-games. Obviously, Williams is a little banged up, too, in the last game, so we have to see if he's going to play. But nice game script for someone in this Kansas City run game to do something. They're 12.5-point favorites. I don't think the Pittsburgh can hang with them. The Steelers were last in the NFL at 4.97 yards per carry. Someone in this Kansas City backfield is going to be effective running the ball. Someone in this Kansas City backfield is going to score some touchdowns in the second half. Someone's going to take advantage of this bad rush D. Is it for you? Is it Williams? Do you want to see who's healthy? Like, what do you do in this backfield? Because I think you have to figure it out because they're all playable if they're on the field.
Yeah, I think you have to figure it out too. I want to roster Williams, but sort of only if Edwards-Helaire is out, I guess. It feels like we've seen Edwards-Helaire come in questionable a number of times, and every time he does, he seems to just jump right back into the lead role. I don't know what's going to happen if both of them are active. I don't have as much interest in Williams. I don't know. It seems like we might not know that news. So you might want to plan for a little bit of extra salary. Like if they were both active, wouldn't you rather roster Edwards-Helaire? I don't know. Maybe we think differently.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of like Williams because he's the guy they like to use in the red zone. But yeah, if they both play, I might just kind of avoid it and figure it out. But it's so hard because they're the team with the big favorite. Edwards-Helaire was actually downgraded to a limited participant in practice yesterday. He missed Thursday's practice. So I think he's kind of trending the way that maybe he's not going to play. I'm just looking at that news now. So I think he's kind of trending in that direction, and that makes it a little bit easier. I think that Williams, I could see some – it's tough because there's so many options on this slate. Like we talked about, maybe you want to play two tight ends, but like you could go Williams, Mitchell, and Fournette pretty easily too and play three running backs all in the 5,000s and really kind of – get whatever else you want in the passing game. There's a lot of different ways to go on the slate. You mentioned not quite as straightforward as the other slate. There's a lot more pass in this slate than there's on the Saturday one.
Yeah, and I agree. I don't want to you know, I don't mean to sell Williams short. If Edwards Hilaire is out, yeah, I'll have a ton of interest in Williams. You know, would probably even be a priority. That's a cheap price tag if he's going to be the lead back. And yeah, I agree with you. It would make me want to roster three running backs, yeah, which is tough, you know, because we want to play a couple tight ends. So yeah, there's a lot of options.
So what does one do with the most expensive running back of the slate? Najee Harris is 6,600. He led the NFL in touches. He led the NFL in snaps among running backs. But they are 12.5-point underdogs. He does catch pass out of the backfield, so you do have that as a fallback in the second half if they are behind. Ben doesn't throw them all more than 3 yards. Everybody's covered that. He could get a lot of that. He had a huge week 17. He was quiet week 18, but he dealt with an elbow injury, kind of went out. And then when they needed it, he came back in. He had 55 total yards. The Chiefs, that if you want to get the Chiefs there, they were 30th in yards per carry at 4.6. I have no idea what to do with Najee at this price tag. Like a lot of the matchup and stuff and game script works out, but if they're down, maybe they don't. It's just, it's hard to figure out. He's the most expensive guy, but what are you doing with Najee Harris with all these other running backs we've talked about we already like?
Okay, so Harris is projecting pretty well, and it's because he's 6,600. It's the first time in 12 weeks that he's been under 7K. He's, you know, he's supposed to be popular and, you know, he projects pretty well for that salary. However, I don't want to roster a running back for a 13-point underdog or whatever they are. Especially like there's a lot to, you know, there's a lot of nice spend up options at receiver and at tight end, especially, and running back just seems like the spot where I want to save some money. I mean, I don't give the Steelers much of a chance in this game. Harris is going to have to get there catching the ball. Sure, he can, but I don't know. I'm sort of just don't want to roster the running back on a huge underdog. How do you feel?
Yeah, if this were on the other slate and we didn't have as many options, I'd be like, yeah, I think I can kind of get there. Maybe he catches, you know, four or five balls in the second half. But with Williams, with Mitchell, with Fournette, I just think there's so many ways where I can save $1,000 and get in a running back that I think it's a better situation. That I kind of agree with you. I don't think I'm going to end up with a lot of Harris. I really want to see his rushing percentage, because I looked at projections also, like you mentioned, and he comes out as like the second best value after Fournette. So it's like it does make sense. If he catches passes, it works. But I like the other guys more. The two running games we haven't talked about, Dallas and Philadelphia. The 49ers are tough to run against. Zeke has, kind of looked slower than normal all year. He did have 87 yards last week, but they were trying to get him to 1,000. They really were trying to feed him. He had 18 carries. The Niners allowed 3.6 yards per carry. They shut down the Rams running backs pretty effectively last week. Tony Pollard's going to be back. He's 5,300. Zeke is 61. All the Eagles guys are kind of in the 4,000. Miles Sanders must have been at 5,000. Like, they just split up so much, it's hard to figure that out. Are you touching either of these backfields in your lineups?
So I'm definitely not one that likes to roster Zeke. And especially, you know, in this matchup, like you mentioned, the Niners are pretty good against the run. But you know, it's another soft price. There's sort of soft pricing in multiple spots on this slate. I mean, Zeke was over 7,000, you know, almost all year. He was up to 8,000, all the way down to 6,100 now. So, I mean, I think he's a similar option to, Elijah Mitchell. You know, Zeke catches some passes. So I get it. I guess the cheap price tag is keeping me somewhat interested in Zeke. But I can see Tony Pollard too. But I'm not like overly excited about any of them. I don't know. What do you think?
I'd play Pollard before I played Zeke in this matchup.
Why? You just think pass catching upside or?
Pass catching upside, break a big play, I think is kind of what you need here. I just think that if they run Zeke into the middle a bunch of times, I just don't think it works.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think for 6,500, I've seen enough times where, you know, CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper each get a pass interference in the end zone, and Zeke has a couple 1 yard touchdowns.
The Niners are good at committing pass interference too, so that does make sense.
Just something like that. Yeah, I'm not really betting on Zeke's breakaway rushing ability.
Yeah. What about the any Eagles backs you're thinking about playing, or just kind of avoiding that situation?
Well, the prices are nice. Yeah. The matchup's horrible. I think the Saints ended up passing the Bucs for the best run defense, but the Bucs still have an elite run defense, second in the league. No, it doesn't seem like a great spot. I mean, I guess if I was going to take a chance on one, I guess it'd be Miles Sanders. He's cheap again. And, you know, it seems like he's their number one guy when he's healthy. At least he was in the last few games of the season. He actually looked pretty good and had some decent games, but I don't really want to take a chance on them. No, like I think running back is where I'm not really going to overthink it. Fournette is just such great value. And then, you know, Mitchell and a Kansas City guy just seem pretty logical to me.
Yeah, me too. I just don't think I'll get there. I think guessing on them. I mean, it's a short slate, so if you guess right, you're kind of ahead of the game. But like, I find it hard to guess on them. I assume one of those four guys is going to be inactive. They're not going to carry four running backs on the active roster, so maybe check that out. Maybe it kind of limits the running tree a little bit. But yeah, it's tough for me. But let's talk about those pass catchers, the receivers and tight ends. But first, a note from our sponsors at Skybox Sports. Skybox Sports Network is your hardcore source for odds and sports tickers. Skybox Sports has been creating an entertaining and relevant product for restaurants, sports bars, casinos, racing sports books, arenas, and stadiums for years. Now you can bring a little bit of Vegas into your fan cave. Skybox's low-cost and state-of-the-art Wi-Fi platform is a simple and affordable plug, play, and activate option. Skybox Sports Tickers brings you live odds, propositions, fantasy sports, hires, fires, trades, breaking news, and recaps with index coverage for the NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, PGA, NASCAR, UFC, specialty events, and more. Visit SkyboxSportsNetwork.com and use promo code ROTOWIRE5 for a 5% discount on your Skybox Sports order. So, Ryan, let's talk a little bit real quickly about the running backs or the receivers and tight ends, the guys catching the pass. We've hit about a lot of them as we've talked about stacks. We've talked about Debo. He's the expensive guy at 7,900. But what about the mid-range? We have not talked about either Mike Evans or Deontay Johnson. Evans is home against Philly. Deontay Johnson's obviously at KC as a big underdog. Evans is 7,000. Deontay is 6,700. Kind of these two second-tier-ish receivers. Do you have a preference between the two? Are you looking at one of them? How do you feel about these two guys?
Yeah, I think – okay, so – I would want to like Evans, you know, with Godwin out and AB, you know, not with the team anymore. You'd think that would be a big bump for Evans. However, he's probably going to see shadow coverage from Darius Slay, you know, one of the top corners. Also, the weather in that game, you know, remember check before kickoff, but at least now it's showing gust up to 30 miles an hour and, you know, sustained wind 10 to 15, maybe some rain too. So I'm kind of off Evans the more I look into it. I think it's just probably a better spot for Johnson. If the Steelers are going to be trailing all game, you figure he's, you know, pretty sure to see double digit targets. But it's interesting. I'll throw it back to you about Tyreek Hill because, you know, he's basically in that same price range. Tyreek is another one where he's been 8,500, 8,300, 8,400 all year. Now he's $1,000 less than that. And, you know, it's a big question mark after what he did to us against Denver, hurting his heel in warm-up. But 7,300, you know, it's enticing. I don't know. What do you think about that top range?
It's been a weird Tyreek Hill season. Every time I'm like, oh, here's the Tyreek Hill week, it just doesn't happen. He's got like a lot of short passes. The team's been playing Kansas City different, but man, at 7,300, I don't know how you don't find a way to do it. I think that I prefer him over Debo and Evans this week, kind of right there with Johnson. I think I prefer him too, but like the heel thing's a little concerning. Like last week is weird. Like he was fine, then all of a sudden he hurt his heel in warmups, and it wasn't really reported. Then all of a sudden, you know, I see kickoff and he's kind of not out there for the first drive or playing a couple times. He comes in, he's like limping off the field. He went in motion once and he was like limping across the line. I was like, what are we doing here? He had three targets, one catch for 2 yards. Like brutal. But the week before he had 10 targets and he was only 6 for 40. But then you look 4 weeks back and he was 12 for 148. Like he's a boomer bust guy. And the bust is real here. Like we're always like, oh, as long as Tyreek gets targets, he'll rack something up. But the bust is real. But man, 7,300, I find a hard time not doing it. I think you mentioned the weather with Evans. It's hard. I love Debo Samuel, but like if I get Tyreek Hill cheaper in a playoff game, it's been a weird year of many floor games for Tyreek. But man, I think as long as I want to read some reports, make sure the heel is actually fine. But at 7,300, I think that I've got to just do it.
I mean, I think I do too. It's just, it's, you know, we know what Tyreek's ceiling is. So it's just, it's hard to not take a chance on that for 7,300. Yes, obviously there are risks and the bust potential is very real, like you said. But yeah, I'm probably going to gamble on him again.
If you had to pick between the two Cowboys guys, Lamb 6,300, Cooper's 5,900. I'm kind of like, you know, pick who you want and go. I probably go see Lamb. I think he's a little more upset. I don't think the Niners are gonna be able to cover him, but you know, Cooper's been, ever since he kind of complained about his lack of targets, the last 3 weeks have been really good. He was 11-7-7, hasn't topped 100 yards since week 8, but like very involved. I lean Lamb, but like, I wouldn't argue hard if you want to play Cooper instead.
Yeah, for me, that's like the toughest question on the slate. I was going to ask you the same thing. I know both of us are sort of CeeDee Lamb guys. That's who we've been going with this season.
That hasn't worked well lately.
No, lately, you know, the targets would say go with Cooper. At least 7 targets for Cooper in 4 of the last 5. And, you know, CeeDee is seeing 2, 4, 5. Now, you know, I don't know. I don't think he played the whole game against Philly last week, but still. So yeah, I'm not sure. That's the toughest question for me. I do like that CeeDee's salaries came way down though. You know, he'd been in over 7,000 for 5 straight weeks, and you know, he's got the sort of big play upside. Dak likes to look for him in the end zone. So I have trouble not going with CeeDee, especially now that he comes at a discount now, I guess, but you know, based on the recent numbers, Cooper might be the better play. I don't know. I don't have any much more insight than that.
Yeah. Mine's really a feel. I just think that, watching this Niners defense all year, I don't think they can cover CeeDee Lamb. I think either Dallas is going to know that. I think Dallas is going to try and hit some deep shots to Lamb too. And I think Lamb's the play, but like you said, like Cooper's been the targeted guy lately. So I wouldn't argue it hard, but if I had to pick one, I'm going Lamb. On the cheaper side receiver, we talked about Brandon Ayuk. He's 5,200, really good the last couple of weeks, 94 and 107 yards, 6 targets a game in the second half. He's clearly out of the Shanahan doghouse. They move Debo around, but like Ayuk is always there for those quick slants. He can take a little deep shot. They don't do it a lot, but if they do, I assume it'll be probably with Ayuk. But he's 5,200, I think very playable there. What about other cheap receivers? We have Chase Claypool down here, 4,700, like cheaper than he's been all year. We've got a couple of the Tampa guys down here. You know, if Mike Evans is the one, you know, who's the two? Is it Perryman? Is it Tyler Johnson? Is it Scotty Miller? You got the Kansas City two guys down here too. You got Pringle. You got DeMarcus Robinson. You got Mecole Hardman. What the heck are you doing in this range with cheap receivers? Because there are a lot more options than the Saturday slate. But they're not quite as like, they don't stick out as much as like Gabe Davis and Zay Jones did. What do you do with the cheap guys this week here on Sunday?
Yeah, it's tough. Like a lot of similar options, but a lot of guys that are playable, I guess is the best way to put it. As far as Tampa Bay, I think Tyler Johnson's going to be the slot guy. 7 targets last week, 6 the week before. He was on the field a ton. They were using him in that role. So he's probably the Tampa receiver I would feel safest about. I don't know if I necessarily love that game, as we've talked about. So I don't know that I'm going to go there, but if I did roster a Tampa Bay receiver, it'd probably be him. Claypool. Yeah. Claypool is interesting. And McLeod also, for 3,600, either Pittsburgh guy. I've seen a few different people, touting Chase Claypool's receiving yards over prop. It's in the 40s. Last I checked, he's been, you know, seeing some targets, more involved after, I don't know, he wasn't great for most of the season, and now his salary's down and Pittsburgh's going to be throwing all game. So I think that makes sense. McLeod's been seeing a ton of targets, 9, 10, 8, 8. I mean, a ton of targets. For 3,600, that seems fine. Again, Ben's going to be throwing all game. It's probably his last game ever. They're going to be losing in the second half. Some of these cheap Pittsburgh receivers are going to, you know, get some garbage catches. Just they'll have plenty of time to get there. I guess there are plenty of opportunities. So I'm kind of leaning towards the Pittsburgh receivers. KC KC is tough. You know, if anything's wrong with Tyreek, we saw last week, you know, Hardman or Pringle would be the top play on the slate, but that's a gamble. I don't know. I lean Pringle, you know, but Hardman was the guy last week. What do you think in this cheap range? Like you said, it's not obvious. I mean, there's a lot of guys you can make an argument for.
I think if you pick right here is where this slate is going to be won. I think the top half of the slate, like a lot of great players. We love the mid-range running backs. I think picking the right one or two receivers down here is going to go a long way towards winning. I like Claypool from a game description perspective, 4,700 for a talented guy. But, like, you look at – it's just not there. Like, he hasn't topped 41 yards last 40s, even with all these targets, as you mentioned. He had seven targets. Like, did score last week, first touch since week five. But, like, they're going to be throwing the ball the whole second half. Like, they're going to be trailing. And it's – I just don't think they use Claypool right. Ben can't throw the ball deep, and that's how you want to use Claypool. Just not there. But a ton of targets. I prefer – I like Tyler Johnson of the Tampa guys. Played 101 snaps last 2 weeks, so I agree with you there. On KC, you know, it's hard to time that second receiver. There's Kelce there, which is obviously sucks up a lot of targets too. But I think I'd go Pringle. I had eight targets last week, played 55 snaps. I want the guy that's on the field the most. But when it comes to those guys, it's probably who catches that touchdown. It's who, you know, if you look up and if it's Pringle or Hardman or DeMarcus Robinson, you never know until they, like, come up and you see the number. Like, they all kind of run the same routes and you can't really figure them out. But I'd probably go Pringle. The one guy I'm not going to take is Juwan Jennings in San Francisco. He's 3,700 off the big game against the Rams, two touchdowns, seven targets. That was his first game over 50 yards. I think as we get in the playoffs here, like, he's emerged as a clear number three, but, like, I think I like the second Kansas City guy. I like Johnson. I like Claypool more than I like Juwan Jennings. I think it's hard in the Niners offense, the way they run the ball, to, like, support that fourth guy. Like, it worked last week, but I think it's just kind of a fluky thing that worked out. I like that Juwan Jennings has emerged, but, like, with Samuel and Ayuk and Kittle there, I just think it's hard for me to get there. I'd rather play somewhere else.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I agree with you. You know, you'd expect in a playoff game that the touches to condense to their stars. It might be too much to ask to get Johnson a bunch of targets. One guy we didn't mention that seems okay. Cedric Wilson, 4,300 for the Cowboys. Six targets in back-to-back weeks with Gallup out. He's made some big plays. Seems like Dak likes looking for him. So 4,300 touchdown upside for someone like Wilson. So I think that's a decent tournament option.
I do too. It's a nice cheap piece of that the game. We mentioned the total. The total in the game is 51. It's the highest total on the slate. So that's a good note there. I did have Cedric Wilson here too. Like, picking between those guys is tough, but it's gonna be a big differentiator in lineups. We've got a little bit longer here. I've got to kind of jump, but we talked about tight ends is huge on the slate. Kelce, Gronkowski, Kittle, 67, 64, and 58 respectively. Dalton Schultz is 5,000. Dallas Goedert is a screaming value at 4,400. Granted, this game, it doesn't really work out well, and the weather is involved there, but I still think at 4,100, he sticks out for a lot of people. He's been really active since Ertz was gone. Freiermuth is 4,200. Of the top guys, I like playing Kittle for less money than Kelce and Gronkowski. I really like Kittle this week. He's been very down after that hot three-game stretch he had. I think you can get a playoff game. I think they're going to be like, it's time to lean on George Kittle a little bit. So I do like Kittle at 5,800 more than I like Kelce and Gronk. As much as I like those guys, if I had to pick one of the three, and you probably do play, you know, you can play two, but if I had to pick one, I'm going Kittle this week for the money savings.
Yeah, makes sense. One thing I'll say just about Gronk, it's a really good spot for Gronk against an Eagles defense that sort of funnels everything to tight ends. The Eagles defense gave up the most yards in the league to tight ends and the most touchdowns in the league to tight ends. Mentioned Darius Slay. With coverage on the outside, the defense funnels everything to the middle. So it's a really good spot for Gronk. But yeah, I like Kittle too. I like the salary savings. You can't really go wrong with these tight ends. Goddard's price tag being so low sort of outweighs the fact that maybe that game isn't the greatest spot. I like all those guys.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, Dallas Goedert at 4,400. You're right; just sticks out. He had 70 plus yards in three of his last four. Last game he played, he was 6 for 71, seven targets. So I think a popular way maybe to go is Goddard and then one of the top three guys. I think a lot of people are going to play two tight ends. There's a lot of ways to go in the slate, which makes it for three games. There are a lot of different paths. We talked about Gronk and Kittle. Do you think, like, people just see that cheaper price and stay away from Kelce? Like, I just wonder if I mean, Kelce in a playoff game. He scored last 2 weeks, didn't do a lot yardage wise. He has fewer than 35 yards in 4 of his last 5 games, which seems impossible for Travis Kelce. Like, this is the guy that always puts up the targets and yards and stats no matter what. 6,700 is not even that expensive for Kelce either. You can get there if you play the cheap running backs. I wonder if maybe I need to rethink that and try and force him in some lineups just based on the fact that it's so easy to go without him.
Yeah, so, yeah, really good points. Cheapest Kelce's been all season, 6,700, and he is projected to be the less popular than those other three, yeah, than all of them. Less popular than Gronk, Kittle, and Goddard. So, you know, I guess sort of similarly to how we said Ja'Marr Chase might get you a little bit of leverage, Travis Kelce might get you a little bit of leverage on this.
I never thought we'd be able to say that on a short slate. That's pretty wild. The tight ends,
especially at that price tag.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Like you said, a tight end is tough. You can make arguments for all these guys. Good argument for Kelce.
I think I just changed my mind live on the air. I think I'm going to try and get Kelce over Kittle and Gronk.
Yeah, you know, it makes a lot of sense. You know, if Kelsey's going to be less popular than all those guys, he can just easily break the slate, put up 25 fantasy points. I mean, very easily in this matchup. KC has the highest implied total. Great price tag. Yeah, take your pick.
Real quick before we get out of here, got to play a defense here too. I assume it'll be everybody's gonna play one of the three home defenses or San Francisco, I suppose. Although that's a little scary against the Dallas offense. What say you? What defense are you taking on this slate? If you got to pick one,
I think if I got to pick one, it's hard for me not to play the Chiefs at home against Big Ben. But I think you can make a good argument for Tampa going against Hurts in maybe bad weather, and the Cowboys, who we've seen force a ton of turnovers this year, and we've seen Jimmy G throw some questionable interceptions lately. I'm going with the Chiefs. What about you?
It breaks my heart, but fantasy-wise, I think Dallas is the best play. 3,100, I think that I think Jimmy will make some plays, but I think he'll make some mistakes also. Micah Parsons, obviously a ton of sacks. Dallas has 9 sacks last week. Jimmy, like, if the first option's not there, he'll go quick to the second, and then he'll take some sacks. So I'm concerned about that. I think the Niners will be able to score some points, but I think, like, fantasy-wise, I think Dallas is going to get some opportunities to make some big plays. Jimmy will give them a couple chances to make a big pick. Hopefully not in the wrong spot. Hopefully not for a pick six. But I think that Dallas is my favorite. Tampa's interesting. Like, my concern with Tampa is that, can they make Philly pass? Like, if we get into this game that's, like, in bad weather and slow down, like, is Philly just going to hand the ball off a bunch of times? That's not good for a fantasy defense. But if they can get up and make Philly throw, then I kind of like them. But they're my third choice. I'd go Dallas, then Kansas City. Kansas City has 7 sacks last 3 games. The game script is fantastic. Like, making Ben throw 50 times and then a bunch of the second half, like, something bad's going to happen at that point. But so yeah. I'm going Dallas first, then KC, then Tampa, if I have to rank the three home defenses.
Okay, sounds good.
Anybody else you want to talk about? I feel like we've gone long considering there's only 5 games, but it's a playoff slate. It's fun. There's a lot of stuff to talk about here, especially the Sunday slate is a really fascinating and fun slate. Anybody else you want to talk about before we jump out of here for the week?
No, I think we hit everything.
Beautiful. I think so too. I hope everybody enjoys this week. It should be really fun. 6 playoff games in the same weekend is a lot of fun. Obviously, the Rams and Cardinals are the standalone Monday night games, so we didn't talk about them on our slates, but obviously a fun game there also. With the Rams kind of a small, I think they're 4-point favorites. But thank you for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast, the Friday DFS version, sponsored by WinBet. We appreciate them for that all year. If you want to please rate or review the podcast, that'd be great. Also, if you want to follow Ryan on Twitter, he's RyanBelongia. I'm at Scott Jensen, JenStad. If as news comes out, injury and weather, if you want to hit some questions on there, feel free to do so. We'll happy to answer that. Other than that, hope everybody has a fantastic weekend. Enjoy all the games, and go Niners.
Yeah, thanks, Scott.